Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare. Everybody, one more time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare.
Let me welcome all of you affectionately for this Angora meditation. For those who join us for the first time, fine. It is a program which has been going on since I hear 12 years, and it developed from just talking about the sequence of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in this world, which are so enlivening to the soul, I should say, and so full of lessons. And it evolved from a simple narration into what we call a Gora meditation, where we want to go a bit deeper than just hearing, oh, this was done, that was done, he said this. But we want to bring Lord Chaitanya into our heart. He's called Gauranga, he who has a golden effulgence due to his golden complexioned angas or limbs. And if we can bring this golden form of the Lord into our heart through a form of meditation, the darkness which may be in the heart, meaning ignorance and distractions and being upset or anxious, all this inner darkness will be dispelled by the golden effulgence of the Lord, like the darkness is going when the sun comes, even a little bit up in the morning. So Gora meditations, bringing the Lord into the heart by meditation. We will narrate some subjects, some teachings, then we will sing in a meditative way and conclude the evening with a wonderful meditation of Lord Chaitanya, where hopefully something of what you have heard and felt will be established in your heart, and that's the hope, stay there. Good. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Everything in spiritual life requires the wind of blessings. And therefore we do a simple prayer before we start. In one of the biographies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Chaitanya Bhagavat, we find a description of the conditions of the fœtus, the unborn child, within its mother's womb. And we find there a prayer with which I would like to start this Gora meditation. With a certain melancholy and yearning for God, the little child turns in prayer to the Supreme. He says, "My dear Lord, although the conditions of living within this womb are miserable, intolerable, and heart-rending, it tears my heart into pieces. If my constant remembrance of you can remain intact even under these painful circumstances, then I do not mind to suffer. And I can remember you even under these difficult circumstances. The word suffering loses its meaning for me. O Lord, please do not send me when I am born to a place where the remembrance of you is absent. Please, my Lord, I beg you, grant me this mercy. I cannot fail to become moved by these prayers because they express something very common to the experience of every single one of us, the experience of pain, of misery, of disappointment, of feeling a deep sense of uncertainty regarding our future. But the voice of the unborn, who's in really heavy suffering, expresses the solution to all kinds of difficult situations. If I can just remember you, if the remembrance of your form can be in my heart, I am not so much worried. There is no anxiety. Our Gora Lila evenings, or Gora meditations, I should better say, are a humble attempt to give my audience an impression in the heart, an impression where something is felt, that stays throughout the weeks. And I agree, we get a lot of informations, also wonderful informations nowadays in the online. You can really find wonderful presentations. But we need to remember that. We need to visit that. It needs to be something that stays in our heart. And therefore, we will try this process of meditating or bringing the subject from the mind much deeper, where it stays with us, into the heart. Do you remember when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Jagannath Puri for his historic South Indian journey? He searched or looked for permission from two entities. First, he went to his dear devotees and said, "My dear devotees, I need to move. I need to go and leave Puri. This was like a lightning flash into the soft hearts of his devotees. They were accustomed to see the Lord throughout the day, to dance with him, to hear him, to watch him in his ecstasy of love of God. And now he wanted to go. And Versa even, he said, I need to go alone without any one of you. He gave a reason. He said, I need to look for Dada. Dada means brother. Vishwarup. The news came that he is south and I might find him there. He had become a wandering monk. I need to find my brother, that everyone could understand. But as we will soon come to know, that was not the real reason. He wanted to show mercy to the living entities. So, unwillingly, but knowing who could stop the independent Lord, the devotees granted permission. Yes, you may go. Please come back. They must have thought, there is no high security traveling at that time. There are almost no roads which lead to one into the other. Certainly no highways. He would have to pass through jungles. There would be wild life like tigers and elephants. His food would not always be there. It would be highly adventurous to move on. Then, after obtaining permission, Lord Chaitanya went and took his second permission. He went before Lord Jagannath and asked him, my Lord, let me go. And the Lord speaks in many ways, not just with his mouth. This time he chose to speak with his garland, a wonderful opulent garland at that moment when he had ended his request, fell from the Lord, and the priest immediately understood, yes, that's the Lord's answer to Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and rushed forward with that garland, fixed it and put it around the neck of Gauranga. The next morning, the Lord left. Let us pause for a moment. When we travel, or when we take any decision or anything which is of major significance in our life, it is always good to seek the blessings of these two types of entities: devotees who are close to us, and the Lord. I never fail, before starting a journey or a new effort, to go before the altar, wherever it is in the world. Or when there is no altar and I'm somewhere in a foreign country, I'm praying and invoking an altar with the Lord in my mind. And then I ask for blessings from the undertaking which I do. And I have, since that time, almost felt as if a carpet of mercy is rolling before me, and I just move on that never-ending carpet. Sometimes there's also a little, the carpet may be pleasant blue and yellow, but it may be sometimes a flaming red. In other words, a little intense mercy. Good. On the way, Mahaprabhu was completely intoxicated in love of God. He sang a song which I would like to sing along with you. It's so simple that you can all follow very easily. I have invited my very talented voice, Gokrishna, to lead us in the song which Mahaprabhu sang and which soon was echoing throughout South India because so many people heard it, and by the infectious bhakti, yes, or if you prefer the word electric bhakti, it's bhakti that is transferred, they sang in abundance. Kirtan in a meditative way. See the golden lift. Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the golden complexion, walking on the paths that lead south. See him with a freshly shaven head, lotus eyes, long arms that reach down beneath his hip. He's only dressed with a little cloth around his hip, and he ecstatically sings this song where you can join in, like all the farmers joined in and everyone who saw him. Please sing in this mood.
Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava.
The song expressed something very deep. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey, it's a request, please. Hey, be attentive. Please look at me. And then, what do you want? Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, 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 Pahimam, Pahi means protect me, and then save me, and then Rakshamam, that means actually protect me, and then O Keshava, O Rama, please, during this journey, and in life, protect me and save me. This dependence on the Lord invokes the highest power, the highest strength, power beyond our own limited power and beyond our own limited strength, that is divine grace. Whomever Lord Chaitanya met on this way, and we spoke a little bit about this last time, was requested by him, Hare Krishna, or Krishna Hare, Bolo, sing. And the people would become so enchanted by this divine personality who entered their heart just by being seen by them, that they began to follow him. And as they followed him, throngs of people, masses of people followed the golden avatar. The Lord eventually turned around, embraced them and said, stay here, go back to your villages, but don't forget him. And the people, thus empowered by the Lord's embrace, went to their villages, and others, neighbors, farmers, people with whom they spoke on a daily basis, were impressed, and they felt in their presence the divine Shakti of the Lord, which had been invested in these people. Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out that this was the Bhakti Shakti, a divine energy of the Lord, which is the pleasure and knowledge Shakti. I find this very important. Bhakti should be joyful if it is bhakti. And bhakti should be full of insights. This joy and these insights are given to you into your heart if you practice the process of bhakti. So, as he was moving on like this, and what we have described is typical for the rest of the series which have started today, his South Indian travels, he would do this everywhere, sing everywhere on the roads, attract people, request them first to chant Hari and Krishna, and then empower them with the Bhakti Shakti. This is everywhere, every day happening in Mahaprabhu's South Indian travels. But something else which deserves our attention, because it will be a life lesson, a key to open hidden doors in our life, was also said by the Lord. He also said something. He did not just sing. This is very visible when he came to a place called Kurukshetra. Now, I've talked in the past extensively about his visit and want to just talk very briefly here. When he came to the village or little town of Kurukshetra, he immediately visited the temple as it was his custom. And there in the temple, there was a deity of Bhagavan Kurma, the tortoise incarnation of the Lord. There in the temple, he became overwhelmed with ecstatic love of God and started to sing and dance in such a lively and moving fashion. You know, there were tears coming in streams from his eyes, that the news spread very quickly in the village and on the surrounding fields, and people, you know, came, surged forward from wherever they were. Some were cutting coconuts and others were cutting rice on the field, maybe. They came and all came in the temple where the Lord by now was jumping and calling out, Krishna, Krishna, Rakshaman, and Pahimang. And they couldn't fail but be moved. There was one highly intelligent Brahmana. He was trained in all the Vedic scriptures. His name was Kurma. And after the Lord had somewhat calmed down and come to external consciousness, he went forward to him and said, Venerable Sir, would you please come and honor my home? And there, Lord Chaitanya went there, followed by the whole village. They couldn't come in the home, but they went with him on the road. And when he moved over the doorsteps, the Brahmana was in ecstasy. He said, I can feel the Supreme Personality of Godhead is visiting me in my home. And he gave him a foot bath. He praised him. All the family members were there, and his wife, who had been informed by a messenger already about the extraordinary guest, had prepared many delicious foodstuffs and Mahaprabhu ate. Now, after eating, there was a moment of relaxation, a private moment, and Kurma Brahmana came forward. He bowed down to the Lord, and he expressed what most of us would maybe also have expressed at that moment. He understood, here is the personality who could solve everything which was troubling to him, and he said, Yes, I'm honored in this village. But nevertheless, I feel my material existence pinching me. The threefold miseries are there, and birth is there, old age, disease, and finally, very soon down the road, is my death. Please liberate me from this prison life of material existence. Please take me with you. It was a little bit like the prayers of the embryo who is confined in the very limited space of the womb of the mother. The Lord, who had been going along with this reception, became stern and said, "Never speak like this again to me. Remain at home and do only two things, and you will feel my presence always. Chant the holy names of Hari. Read about him from the Gita and the Bhagavatam. Hear about him, inform yourself about him, and then become a teacher. Give this, the chanting, the knowledge about the Lord, to all others who are around you, and you will not experience misery. Let us learn to be braver. Let us learn to be more courageous. Let us learn to give time where it's best invested in the glorification of the Lord, in spreading the knowledge of Krishna to all those who have ears and a willingness to hear. That will help us to rise above the vicissitudes, it's like the ups and downs of material existence. That works very, very surely. So the next morning, Mahaprabhu took a very early morning bath and left Koma Chetra. When the sun was just getting ready to get on, to climb over that line of the horizon where it becomes visible, he started all each day to continue his travel at a very early phase. I think one reason is that he did not wish to walk when the sun was really up, that was very high. And yes, and moved on. So, excuse me, please. I can catch it. This one, one of the sources of nectar, I fell down. So, the day before, when Mahaprabhu had been in the temple and later at the home of the Koma Brahmana, the news had spread to a place where no one went. It was outside of any human population. It was a place no one would ever go. It was the place where Vasudev, the leper, stayed far away from civilization so that he would not infect others. And he had heard somehow, the news had reached of Mahaprabhu, and next morning when the sun was just coming up and there was not much traffic on the roads and in the village, he made his way to the home of Vasudev the leper. I found the description of what transpired in an epic poem which describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life by Kavi Kanapura. No, it's not the Chaitanya Chandrodaya Natakam. It is called Sri Chaitanya Mahakavyam, a rare piece of literature. In great pain, with his limbs deformed by white leprosy, the great soul Vasudev came to Koma's house. He's described here as a great soul. The reason is known to many of you who listen to this. He would sometimes be so ecstatic and feel like dancing and praising the Lord, but when he moved up and then danced, the worms who lived in his open wounds would fall on the ground, and he would thought, oh, ooh, this is not really ahimsa what I practice. They live, I'm taking their life. And he picked them up and put them back into their wound, feeding them with his own body. So Vasudev asked Koma about Mahaprabhu, and Koma Brahmana told him everything about the mercy of the Lord and what he had said. And he said, the Lord actually stayed here, and there he took his food, and he gave mercy to me. If you go quickly, you might catch up with the Lord. He left very just a little time before you. But Vasudev began to cry and look down at his body. How can I go quickly with this body? It's so painful just to lift the leg and move forward. Yes, I dance, but when I dance, I forget everything. And he started to cry. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the super soul in everyone's heart, could feel the sincere cry of Vasudev for his mercy, and he immediately became manifest before Vasudev's eyes. He saw Vasudev, who had went outside in confusion and had fallen on the ground. And when he came there, he moved towards Vasudev, who was there not even in consciousness, and he embraced him in his arms. No one had ever come close to Vasudev. Those great souls, they always remained a little, who came to him with whom he had contact, like here with Koma Brahmana, they kept a distance. The Lord had embraced him. And along with that embrace, he took all the illusion and all the disease from Vasudev, who looked down his new body. The wounds were gone, the pain was gone, and then spoke a very nice verse from the Bhagavatam. Kvaham daritra papiyan kva krishna shriniketana brahma bandhu iti smaham bahubhyam parirambita. It's something which another brahmana had sang, the Brahman Sudama, the old class friend of Krishna. He said, who am I? I'm a sinful poor imitation of a Brahmana. And who is Krishna? The Supreme Lord, full in six powers. Nevertheless, he has embraced me with his two arms. Now we should think that Vasudev, the leper, is happy. Have you ever felt a great disease has been removed from you? Have you ever come out of the hospital after you had been cured? I feel this every time I leave the dentist. great joy and a feeling of freedom. Now my life starts. This leper was very different. He cried in pain. Oh, Prabhu, even the smell of my body kept people far away from me. No one ever came near to me, but you embraced me. This makes me think that you are Bhagavan. No one except the Lord can be that merciful. You have done me a great favor by giving me darshan, but I do not know whether you have done me a favor or a disfavor by curing my leprosy and making my body beautiful. He thinks this is not good. I was all right as a leper. No one came near me. There was no question of any kind of power, pride on power, name, or fame assailing me. Now my fame will increase even more because all of a sudden the change has come to my body, especially because it came on account of your mercy. Many people will come to see me, and I know me. Pride will overcome me. Let us pause for a little moment. Why is he so afraid of pride? Why is he so afraid that he might go down in his consciousness into bodily identification? It's because this pride is the greatest poison for someone who walks the spiritual path. This is such a problem that sometimes only Krishna can remove it. We know from the pastimes of the Govardhan Leela that Indra had become very disturbed when he was no longer honored by the Brijbasis. On the advice of Krishna, the people of Vrindavan, the Brijbasis, had taken the food offerings that were meant for Indra, that were given in a long, long ancient tradition every year. Krishna had said, let's give that to Govardhan. He is our deity. So when the offerings didn't come any longer and Indra was informed by his spies about what had happened, not only was his food, the milk sweets of Vrindavan, withheld from him, it was directed by a little boy to a rock. Indra felt hurt because, and the pride that was always with him rose. It rose higher and higher and it covered his vision. He became blind by pride. There's a verse, there's a Sanskrit word for this. There are different types of blindness. One is the physical blindness with the eyes. Then there is a word for this. It's just now it does not come. Being covered in one's vision by this pride. It's a lot of more than just, oh, I'm so pride. It's deceit, it's illusion. In this pride, it comes with the package. There are many, many feelings and emotions. And when the scriptures refer to this, to pride, Damba, they refer to this whole package, illusion, deceit, ignorance, and envy. That all is an unpleasant mixture found in pride. it was so bad in Indra that he attacked, that he said, I will annihilate Vrindavan. No one will ever know that there was such a place as Vrindavan. I will send these destructive forces which annihilate the universe, the Samvatakas, the storms, the winter, the lightning, and everything. So, it's a long story. I will tell it at the Govardhana retreat. But finally, Krishna saw Indra is totally blind. I personally have to remove his illusion. And what he did is, when Indra rose his arm to throw his ultimate weapon, the Vajra, down to Vrindavan, Krishna paralyzed by his Shakti the arm of Indra. And when the Vajra came down, he arrested it in mid-air. Then he put Indra into a trance. And in that trance, Indra could see a thousand petaled lotus, and on it, dressed in a dhoti as yellow as one of these fleshes, Krishna. He had a bluish complexion like a fresh rain cloud, had a garland of jewels and flowers. And he looked at Indra. And only when Indra saw Krishna in his heart, in this trance, which even the yogis do not know about, it's so deep. Only then the inner darkness went. And he composed a very beautiful prayer. Anyone who prays this prayer will not have to take another birth in this material world, but go into the abode of Lord Hari. Yes, not even in dreams he will see Yamaraj. I won't tell you this prayer now, because it's long, and we will, of course, you could say that is there anything more important than this prayer at this moment, in order to really teach the prayer properly, I request you join us in the Govardhana retreat. I will have 3 lectures there, and the last one, so if you don't want to listen to all of them, just number 3, it will be on this prayer. It's very powerful when the Lord comes into your heart and removes personally the ignorance. And this is what happens when you can chant with absorption and meditate simultaneously about the Lord's beautiful form. Everything is removed from the heart. I think many of us would like a sudden transformation in our hearts, like the one which Indra had. He was crying and crying and crying. He could see the Lord. The rise of the inner poison or inner darkness was not only going down, it was totally removed. And I think we all would like such a miracle as being one of these farmers on the field, seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanting Krishna, 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 and then embracing us, or we would maybe like to be Vasudev, and even we would not mind if we would have white leprosy, as long as we would be guaranteed that the Lord will embrace us, and together with everything external, take also the inner ignorance. I think we would be, but the safest way, let us wait for this miracle, let us think it is possible, but in the meantime, it is very safe if we work at purifying our heart by chanting and meditating. And I want to now end this beautiful session. I mean, how can I say it's beautiful, but I feel so inspired to be with you talking about Chaitanya. Thank you very much. You give me this opportunity. I want to end this by suggesting a very nice meditation. It is from this book, Sri Chaitanya Chandramrita by Prabodhananda Sarasvati. It's text 76. It sounds very beautiful. Chanam china pina chanam shashrukshanamata. Please watch for the word kshanam. It means a single little moment. Chanam smirashita kshanam analatapta kshanam api chanam davang stapta kshanam adhika jalpang kshanam aho chanam muko gora spuratu mamo deho bhagavata. The last line means, O Lord, I pray that in your golden form as Gauranga you may appear in my heart. I will invite you now to a beautiful Gaura meditation. I will read to you as an introduction a translation of this text, and then guide you through a few steps that bring you into a deeper space, your heart space, and then we will implant the golden form of the Lord, and then from there go our own ways. He's plunged in the mood of Radha, who cries out at separation from Krishna. Yes, in that moment he is emaciated. His body is shriveled up. The next moment, thinking that now, Krishna, you have appeared before my eyes, he would become chubby with happiness. The next moment, he would shed tears of joy, smile, and become very cool, because the fever of separation is removed by the sudden appearance of Krishna. But then again, he would feel separated from Lord Krishna, thinking that he saw Krishna in the distance, he would run and talk as if Krishna would be present. My dear devotees, sit tall. Do a few deep breaths. In and out. Whenever you breathe out, lengthen your exhale a little bit beyond the normal edge. And breathe in even more deep. Bring all your thoughts to the in and outgoing breath. Should your mind wander as it will, gently bring it back to your breath. As you breathe in, imagine now that you breathe into your heart, and that your inhale expands your heart. Breathe in. Breathe in calm, inner stillness, and a feeling of having arrived at the perfect place. Bring all this into your heart. As you breathe in, then breathe out and relax a little bit with each outgoing breath. Please invoke now the image of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into your heart. Close your eyes if they are not yet closed now. Follow the simplest of meditation. I meditate upon the radiant and golden abode of Lord Gaura. I meditate about Sri Chaitanya, who is a treasure of compassion. He is the foremost shelter of all. Please stay for a moment in this space. Sing along.
Hare Rama.
gently come back to room awareness. I would like to think like this for much longer, but online events are such that those who come to them have a plan. Maybe they want to go on to another program, so I don't want to keep you much longer. It was a genuine pleasure to be together again for Gora Meditations. And we will continue the next time with Lord Chaitanya's meeting with a personality who came right from the spiritual abode, and they recognize each other, you know, as what they were and what transpired in the eternal spiritual world from which both of them have descended into this next Gora meditation. Please watch, and that will come up. It will be announced here on this Facebook page. I would just like to end by inviting you to three other online events which are coming up. Saturday, the 26th of December at 3 p.m. Central European Time. That's 2 days after Christmas. There will be a live on Facebook a session which I will give. It's called The Heart of the Holy Name. I'm very, very excited about this particular session due to its content, which I'm preparing. It's maybe not the place to speak about it now. Heart of the Holy Name, 26th of December, facebook.com/sachinandaswami. Then we will have a little later our Sangha Mela for the first time online. It is a festival with which many of you have heard about. I think it happens, starts on the 29th of December and goes right into the new year, the 1st of January. It's an event which is meant to supply strength, to go full of spiritual strength, ready to face all the changes that may come into the next year. But it will be special, as I said. The whole duration of one presentation is 1 hour 15 minutes. There will be a seminar, like I think 30 minutes, and then Gora Hari will take us to Vrindavan, the special Vrindavan Katha, and then we will move the camera on the altar and have these special darshans of Radha Madan Mohan, which are real, real treats. We will also have a Vrindavan slideshow. So the schedule and all links for watching will be announced on my Facebook page in a few days. And the last of the three invitations is happening from the 2nd to the 6th of January. It's another celebrated retreat, for the first time online, Govardhan retreat, where my very dear friend Burijan Prabhu will join me from Australia, his good wife Jagatarini, and also Madhavananda Prabhu from Gopal Jui Press, famous Madhavananda. They will join us online, and we will bring you right to Govardhan with live videos, and you know, in India and and katas and lectures and many things. It will also be announced on my Facebook page, at least the links where you can find this. In general, I would just be very happy to serve you all with Krishna katas that bring you to a spiritual experience. So I invite you to visit my YouTube channel. I have become a real YouTuber, and I heard on social media it's not impolite to invite people to join your presentations. There you can watch the video recordings from courses which we really, really are very happy about. It's a Kirtan experience, Bhakti Essentials, the Living Names, and 5-minute long wisdom videos, many. Then you can go on SoundCloud, where you can listen to all meditations and all exercises from the Living Name book and hear 5-minute long daily japa inspirations for each day, something to aid you in your daily japa experience, and all the previous Kartik inspirations. And the last, I'm just reading a list here, which my talented online team is giving me. Stay in touch, please. Yes, stay in touch for new wisdom videos and more that will follow here on this Facebook and on the Instagram pages. This was a lot of announcements. You will find, as far as I know, in the comment section, something about this announcement. For now, I want to raise my karatas and end this evening by wishing you all the best. Sing more, dance more, hear more about the golden avatar, and your life will be very sublime. All the best. Hare Krishna.